Today on the show, we discuss the life of Adam Jensen and how his abilities unwittingly turned him into a pawn of the Illuminati. Welcome to Lore Party, the podcast that explores the stories, characters, and universes of our favorite video games. I'm Connor.
And I'm Michael.
And Michael, it's a pleasure to be on the mic with you for the first time. Let me just say that right off the bat.
Yeah, it's always good to hop back into the main Lore Party shows. I'm usually kept away in sort of my corner of a minigame a little bit, so it's always good to hop back in to the regular Lore Party show and talk about video game stories with you guys.
Absolutely. It was so nice of you to loan yourself to us. Make sure to thank you for that. But yeah, it's great to have you on. Should be a good time. Today we're talking about Adam Jensen from the Deus Ex franchise as a part of Cyberpunk Week, actually. So pretty exciting stuff. I've been looking forward to talking about Deus Ex. Haven't had an opportunity yet, but Cyberpunk Week is I think a perfect time for it.
Yeah, and I think like Deus Ex for me is one of those games that it has a special place for me where I kind of replay at least the first Deus Ex game once every few years or so. I think that's kind of like the big meme of that game is that sometimes you forget it exists, and once you remember it, you always want to play through it again. And it's always how it's been for me, and so it's good to talk about one of my favorite games.
But that does bring us to Human Revolution, kind of the first part of our discussion here, because that introduces us to our hero, Adam Jensen. Adam Jensen, by all appearances, he's a regular dude. He's just a normal guy, former cop. Now he's private security. When we first meet him, he's private security for one of the biggest companies in the world that manufactures cybernetic prosthetic implants or augmentations. In fact, in the world that Jensen lives in, augmentations are becoming both incredibly advanced, like you'd be amazed at what they're capable of, and they're becoming ever so increasingly common in this world, like more and more people have them.
Yeah, and one of the things that is really interesting is that not only is it becoming more prevalent, it's now becoming sort of outright bougie to do. throughout the game, you come across what are called limb clinics. Which are these clinics that you go to get your upgrades, get them installed, upgrade your upgrades, and just make sure that you have these things that you need. And so it's kind of like going into your local Apple store, and that's kind of the interesting setup for me as being a longtime fan of the series was how they introduced the concept of the augmentation to the world, because that is a very high concept to do and to try to recontextualize it in a way that is not just a big technobabble lore dump. It's more of just a, hey, here's this cool new tech product. You probably like tech products. You should probably get this because, hey, your friends are doing it and you want to be like your friends, right?
Exactly. That is a very lifelike way to kind of do the world building. Mm-hmm. That otherwise might be really difficult in a game like this. But yeah, they really sell that concept of these augmentations are not only common, they're trendy. And that's how they do that. So that's a great point. And not only are they trendy and catching on and they're everywhere, they're really kind of changing the conversation about what it is to be human in this world. The modern society that Adam Jensen lives in, it's starting to be shaped by this conversation of, are people losing their humanity? And I think that's definitely something that pops up a lot in many cyberpunk media, whether it's a game, movie, book, what have you. You start to see that question. And in fact, in Human Revolution, we are introduced to a group, or several groups actually, but I guess a few in particular, who are on the side of quote-unquote human purity. And they're starting to get more and more extreme in the ways they push back on this advancement of augmented limbs and body parts. Not only on the technology itself, but as you mentioned, Michael, the way that it's kind of introduced to humanity and being pushed on people. Not everyone's happy about it.
Yeah. And it's you do come across these groups who are more rejecting of these augmentations, wants the purity of the human experience to be a thing. And it reminds me a lot of actually like the sort of doping scandals that have been in, you know, recent years on like Olympics and other kind of athletic events. And you have this sort of conflict of, well, what is it to be human? We do have, in real life right now, we do have the ability to enhance the physical aspects of being human. And is the ability to reject that, is that a good thing? Or are you, and by you, I mean humanity, holding yourself back where you may or may not should be?
Exactly. Yeah. And it is interesting, the other parallel there in kind of the doping scandal, or the athletic sphere kind of has that rationality of, well, everyone's doing it, why shouldn't I? And that kind of comes back to, you can see that happen in almost any advancement or, you know, new technology that is thrust upon humanity. It's like, well, if everyone's adopting this technology, why don't I do it? It's a bit of a group mentality. And yeah, like there are people who just are of the opinion, you know, the more you replace your flesh with machinery, are you sacrificing your soul? And I guess depending on how you look at it, unfortunately or fortunately, they are in the minority. They're on the losing side of the battle against the advancement of augmentations.
And it's a thing where also, you know, being part of, being a big fan of this series for so long, I know how it ends, because Human Revolution and Mankind Divided are prequels, despite them looking a lot better and more fidelity than the older
games. That's a good point.
Prequels. So, you know, having played those games, I know how this world ends. it ends in a lot of ways the in a weird place, in which for the greater population, the purity of humanity, that side of things, ends up winning out. Almost nobody has augmentations in the future, but when they are first introduced, it does become this big thing of, well, I need to get this. I need to be the best I can be. Be all I can be. And in some ways, for reasons that we'll mention during this the show, that part of thing has been completely rejected, and now only, you know, the super super rich, super fancy have the ability to augment themselves, in a lot of ways even heal themselves through the use of medicine. It's a pretty dark place, but it starts off with, you know, Human Revolution. It is this big new fancy thing that people want to have.
That's a great point. We have to keep in mind that Human Revolution and Mankind Divided take place before the original Deus Ex. I keep forgetting that. that's a great point, because this progression toward only the wealthy and the powerful being able to have access to this revolutionary technology, that's actually kind of part of the plan for a certain subset of people. Because while everyone's grappling with this question of, do augmentations make you less human? And Adam Jensen is grappling with, you know, the implications of working for a major augmentation company. While all that's happening, there's a shadowy group of power brokers, malicious actors. They're basically the Illuminati. In fact, they're called that in the game. It's literally the Illuminati. They're not even sneaky about it. But certain people are taking steps to influence these global events. They're kind of pulling the strings behind all of it. And a major end goal of theirs is completely control the flow of information, because that's all digital by this point, and have all the information working in their favor. But they're also pushing these augmentations on people. And, you know, we start getting into this question of, are augmentations, and more broadly speaking, does advanced technology make people less in control of their lives? I think there's a lot of arguments you can make about, you know, the way information is presented in this game, the way news is controlled in this game, the way the media is manipulated in this game, already controls people's lives. And augmentations seem to be yet another piece of that puzzle.
Yeah. And when we start off with Inhuman Revolution, the very sort of the prologue of the game, you are introduced to Adam Jensen as this sort of almost John McClane like figure in the first Die Hard movie, where he's just this everyman. He's like a former cop. He's just there to do his normal job at this big company, Serif Industries. Mm-hmm. And you know, one day a bunch of really shady folks basically commit a terrorist act against Seraph Industries, you know, like shoot Adam Jensen in the head. And then it's almost become like this weird meme around the game of Adam Jensen keeps saying that, oh, he didn't ask for these all these augmentations.
I never asked for this.
But no, he doesn't. He just gets shot in the head. And then the Seraph Industries is like, well, we have the ability to bring him back. Let's just do that. And while we're at it, we may as well just make him better.
Right.
And then it sort of becomes that's the initial excuse of making things better. But then, you know, certainly down the line, you know, like you mentioned, things get a little bit more and more manipulated. Who is actually behind these augmentations? There is a weird sequence almost in the middle of the game that I almost forgot about when we first started planning this episode. But there's like one mission which you're just told, hey, go to this limb clinic to get an upgrade. And you can just go, okay,
sure.
You go to limb clinic, you get the upgrade. Like prior to then, even after that, you're not told to do any of these upgrades, but you go to this limb clinic. They just say, okay, here you go. And Adam just goes, what's that? And you're like, I don't know.
Don't worry about it.
It's like, hey, it's just an upgrade. Don't worry about it. And
just sign
and
here.
It's like, yeah. And it's like, well, what exactly did I do? Who mandated this?
Right.
And yeah, it's a funny thing. And also you bring up a fun, but an interesting point about the media is that you see frequently throughout Human Revolution, this newscaster who is just, you know, for the most part, you know, just doing newscastery stuff, you know, here's the news, blah, blah, blah. But then, you know, over time gets more and more opinionated, more and more manipulated. And by the end of the game, you realize that this newscaster is just an AI created by the Illuminati.
Yeah.
And it's just, here's their mouthpiece. And it's just disguised as just being a faceless corporate entity giving you the news.
Yeah. It's not the most subtle tool to manipulate the flow of information I've ever seen.
Eventually, you know, someone is going to find out, you know, who's this news reporter? We can't find her. That's suspicious. But in the fiction of the game, it makes sense that, okay, here's this thing giving us the news.
Right.
By the way, this thing is from the Illuminati.
But shh, we don't talk about that.
Yeah.
But you do raise a very good point about the way Adam Jensen is kind of led around on a leash a little bit. Like after the attack, after he's brought back to life, he's rebuilt basically. He's a $6 million man with all these augmentations. Well, probably more like $6 billion. with all this new technology packed into him, he has a new lease on life, but he's also searching for answers. Like, who were these people? Why'd they do what they did? And how do I get my life back? Or how do I get some, you know, closure or whatever? And on this search for information and for answers and for, you know, for absolution, Adam is, you know, on a quest, but he's also, he has a carrot on a stick held in front of him a little bit. And you mentioned the upgrades. He doesn't know what's in them. He doesn't know what was put in his body when he was rebuilt. He doesn't know a lot of things. He's just, he's being led around by his nose. And that actually brings us to our main argument today, is that throughout Human Revolution and Mankind Divided, Adam Jensen is really completely manipulated. Like, his goals are kind of given to him, and he thinks he's acting for himself and for the good of other people for the most part. But really, there are more powerful people above him kind of pointing the way for him. And I think, Michael, you pointed out that that's actually common to the original Deus Ex as well, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually a common theme throughout the entire Deus Ex series, from one, Invisible War, which hopefully we won't have to talk about because that game's not very good, Human Revolution and Mankind Divided, is that you are constantly being told what to do by various different players. In the first Deus Ex, you are playing as JC Denton, kind of similar setup to Adam Jensen. He's just this, you know, cop working for UNATCO, which is just an anti-terrorist organization in the first Deus Ex game. And you're there, you're just given a mission to, it's probably one of the most famous levels in any game, where it's, you have to infiltrate the Statue of Liberty, take out some terrorists, and retrieve a vaccine for a deadly disease. And then throughout the game, you're given more and more of these missions. You, as you talk to more and more people, you get a broader perspective on the world. And you sort of think that, okay, well, maybe the things that I am being told are not the truth, or are at least a little bit obfuscating the truth. And you know, about halfway through the first Deus Ex game, you realize that, hey, this anti-terrorist organization is, again, the Illuminati.
Say it with me, folks.
the Illuminati has been confirmed, and they're in all the Deus Ex games. But you know, it's similar to Invisible War. You know, you are just being told things, and rarely you are given any personal agency. You have some choice on how you want to do some of these missions that you are taking on, but very rarely do you, as both the player and the character you're playing, have this sort of personal, like, oh, this is weird, I need to figure this out. You are constantly being told to figure things out and told to do things, until usually around the end of the game that you are given this big personal decision on, okay, I want the world to be this way now. And it's you over the course of the game having sort of that strength and courage to make this choice for yourself.
Right. That's so important to keep in mind, is that really interesting, almost like paradox between the choice the player is given. Like, oh, you can decide what augmentations Adam invests in and what he levels up and what he uses and how he approaches situations. Do you kill or, you know, stun people? Like, are you this way or that way? But the character is on a very narrow path, and that path has kind of been set in front of him. It's an interesting paradox. It leads to some really interesting places where we go along with Adam on this journey throughout human revolution. He eventually learns that the guy who basically invented or originated augmentation technology, a man named Hugh Darrow, Nobel Prize winning scientist, he's a hell of a guy. It's all his brainchild. Basically, augments are his baby. But it turns out he's behind this massive conspiracy to hijack the bodies of millions of augmented people throughout the world by kind of like taking control of what's called a biochip in their bodies. And it's a crazy revelation. And Adam learns that Darrow plans to do this with a signal that turns augmented people into mindlessly violent homicidal maniacs that just kill everyone they see. And I remember like coming across this twist at the end of Human Revolution when I was playing it. And I thought, holy shit, Jesus Christ, what's happening? Like, this is crazy. And, you know, you actually see it happening. You see what's called the Aug incident in the game, where people are just hacking each other to bits with their robo arms and stuff. And Adam is like completely in the dark about why this is happening.
Yeah. And that's kind of like a funny, well, not funny, but a fun thing of seeing the origins of, because like I mentioned, like, you know, I've played through the series sort of as it was released. I know the world. It's about 20, 30 years down the line from when Human Revolution and Mankind Divided are placed in the timeline. It's about 30 or so years after that. So I already know that the world has gone to shit. So I figured, like, oh, wow, this is the inception point. This is where the world has gone to hell. This is why almost no one is augmented anymore. And it's this, you know, secret thing. And, you know, there is, of course, another game that, you know, expands on this a little bit further. But it's also an interesting take on sort of the act of just trends in general. And it's a big part of not only the Deus Ex franchise, but cyberpunk culture and cyberpunk stories as a whole, is this weird dichotomy of incredibly advanced technology. Technology that surpasses pretty much anything humanity can think of, to the point where almost technology has to create its own technology for it to advance. But then it's also like, okay, we have this, and now humanity, there is a great swath of humanity who is just completely destitute, have almost nothing. And this is sort of this moment in Human Revolution is almost the breaking point. You see that this trend, this trust in this technology, the systems that allowed this technology to thrive, this is where it breaks. And it's never, you can never go home again, and you can never unthink that this is the way it is. this technology is no longer trustworthy. And then it goes like, okay, well, is it okay for other people, even if they haven't done anything, to still have this technology? Right. And this is kind of where Mankind Divided is set up as well.
Yeah, it the cat's out of the bag at that point. It's not going back in. And like, that's a great point. This is kind of that downward slope where augmentations go from trendy, exciting new technology to a concept that is feared and distrusted. The cyberpunk genre in general, but especially this divergence point, this point in human revolution, it raises that very important question. Are you really in control of your own body? And when you look at a lot of cyberpunk media and you look at Deus Ex, you know, that question comes up a lot. And Human Revolution confronts that question directly by kind of demonstrating that augmentations, you know, they're capable of doing a lot of good for people. They're capable of being a very life-changing and life-saving technology, but it can also be a tool of domination in the wrong hands.
Yeah, and that's kind of an interesting point where, just on a similar note, like, are you actually familiar with the creation of the Nobel Prize?
I'm actually not.
Okay, so this is kind of an interesting parallel between Hugh Darrow and the inventor of dynamite, Alfred Nobel, who, as you can probably tell from his last name, is the sort of creator of the Nobel Prize. And after he invented dynamite in a similar way to Darrow's invention of the augmentations, it was initially created as a thing of like, okay, well, I'm going to make this thing that is going to allow, I believe the initial creation of dynamite was for the creation of an expansion of railroads. So it's like, okay, well, this is going to allow for us as humanity to travel further, to communicate, you know, to, you know, blast through mountains and things like that, so we can expand and, you know, grow humanity. And at some point, dynamite was used and turned into a weapon, and he was mortified by this, sort of disavowed his invention. He can't uninvent it, but then he wanted to celebrate the goodness of humanity with that. It was the creation of the Nobel Prize. And I just think that it was a fun, I don't know if it was intentional.
Wow.
But it was at least an interesting parallel that came through when I was sort of playing through that game.
That's incredible. I never thought of that. That adds an entirely new dimension to the plot of Human Revolution, though. That's really cool.
Well, thankfully, Alfred Nobel created a prize instead of, you know, trying to turn humanity into murderous
mecha zombies. Yeah.
Zombie people. Yeah. So thankfully he did that instead.
We can all breathe a little easier knowing that.
Yeah. Darrow had good intentions, could have done them a little bit better.
Yeah. Next, good luck on the next draft, though, Darrow.
Yeah, we'll take a take two on that.
Consider that for the next go. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here, but stick around. We'll be right back.
We interrupt this podcast for a preview for a different podcast. I'm Bruce, a regular contributor to Lore Party. In the unforgiving world of the gods, there is an endless, vicious cycle of fathers killing sons, brothers killing brothers, and sons killing mothers. But Kratos, the ghost of Sparta, looks to end that cycle with his son Atreus as they journey through the various realms of the Norse pantheon. Tune into our God of War episodes where my co-host Abu and I discuss the latest installment in the God of War series from 2018 and the insightful ways the game creates more depth in a beloved franchise. Just check out our Lore Party feed and search God of War. It should be easy to find. We now continue your regularly scheduled podcast.
We do have one last bit of business that Adam Jensen does address near the end of Human Revolution, and that is kind of the monumental decision that he has to make whether to expose Darrow for his crimes, let the world know what he did and why he did it, sure, but also, you know, that would doom his career, that would completely set back the science of augmentation, probably years, if not decades. But he also has the option to cover for Darrow, to sort of erase the evidence and cover up for him. Or he can destroy all of the evidence of the entire conspiracy and just sort of let mankind decide for itself. He sort of has that sabotage the concept of augmentation, save the concept of augmentation, or just completely wash his hands of all of it. he kind of has that left, right, or center sort of decision in front of him.
Yeah.
And like we've alluded to earlier, these protagonists of Deus Ex games are rarely in a position to make this kind of decision. This is one of the few moments that Adam Jensen is really at the steering wheel of the entire world. But sadly, coming back to this lack of control concept we've talked about, no matter what he chooses to do, the Illuminati are still out there. The truth is out there, yeah. And I'll never stop looking. The Illuminati are still out there, and no matter what Adam does, they just adapt and adjust their plans accordingly. They're still going to find a way to spin this to their advantage and to find a way to take control of the situation no matter what.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's a similar kind of concept to like the Borg in Star Trek, or even like the Reapers in the Mass Effect games, where it's sort of this thing of both you as players and greater humanity as well are constantly given the illusion of choice. And it feels good to be like, yeah, I did this. I am going to save humanity. But it's like the Illuminati is just like, yeah, we gave you this choice. We're still going to do our thing here. We'll let you make your little choice. That's cute. We have our own little, we have our own big plans right. Instead.
Right. Yeah, that's actually a very poignant way to sum up the bridge between human revolution and mankind divided. Because, no matter what happens, we still get the world in which mankind divided is set. And that kind of brings us to another hallmark of the cyberpunk genre, which is, as I see it at least, it's this relentless and inevitable pace of technological progression.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've talked about Nobel, Alfred Nobel and the inventing dynamite. Like you said, he couldn't uninvent it. Just the same way that Hugh Darrow couldn't uninvent augmentations. They're going to continue to progress, and the people in a position to take advantage of it will do so. So despite suffering from the massive setbacks that Adam Jensen, gave them, the Illuminati, the people in the shadow of power, they still always find ways to turn technology against common people. And that does harken back to our main thesis here, this lack of control and this the way that technology enables the wrong people to control the lives of others, including Adam Jensen.
Yeah, it's a depressing thing that I hate to make references on shows that are not mine, but it's kind of like Alien versus Predator. No matter who wins, we lose.
Exactly.
And also like on a more little somewhat serious note, where it's not just that, you almost see modern parallels on this, right? Where
sure.
It's you see that there is a lot of in our world that there is, you have this two kind of thoughts where the day-to-day lives of a lot of people in this world or in this country, however you want to look at it, is either stagnant or going backwards. But if you look at greater humanity, greater technology, it is almost impossible to think. It is almost wondrous. But what good is that wonder if you can't pay your rent or
exactly.
or you can't pay your medical bills? And technology will still progress exponentially. So yeah, it's gonna have someone's gonna have a flying car out there, but
it just probably won't be you.
It probably won't be you, and right. You're probably still gonna be in deep financial hardship if you break your arm. So
that's man,
yeah, it's
the way Deus Ex mirrors the real life is. It's shocking sometimes.
Yeah, don't play Deus Ex 1 if you want to have a good fun time. stay in Human Revolution Land where augmentations are still pretty cool.
If you want an existential crisis, that game's right up your alley. It's good times.
If you want other games that have existential crises, check out Minigame.
Oh man, that's so well put though, and it does lead us into that scenario of 2 years later after human revolution takes place, the state of the world is kind of as you put it, Michael. It's just sort of technology is maybe still progressing, but a lot of people are being left behind. They're not benefiting from that progression. When Mankind Divided takes place, everyone's still kind of reeling from the events and the implications of the Aug incident, when augmented people lost their minds and killed everyone around them. So now there's this huge schism, this division between augmented people and non-augmented people. The non-augmented people are largely very distrustful and suspicious of augmented people. Where the game takes place, the game takes place in Prague, Czech Republic, and there's a slang term there that augmented people are sometimes referred to. It's a pejorative. They are sometimes called Hansers. I don't know where that comes from, but it's not friendly.
No.
It's, you hear it in context, like all these damn Hansers around, yeah, and stuff like that. It's gross. Like it's very uncomfortable to hear in, like, you know, in an age when racial tension is high. It's kind of an interesting parallel there. Another interesting thing that's happening in Mankind Divided is that, at least in Prague specifically, there are entire populations of augmented people who have been separated into sort of augmented ghettos, which is a really weird thing to see in a game, and it's really shocking and kind of a little too real. But it's where augmented people are kind of closely monitored. They're kind of kept in a martial law type situation. And the logic there is, we can't allow another AUG incident to happen. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how they're presented to the player.
So you see a lot of also modern day parallels of sort of, okay, here is the normal humans line. Here is the AUG line. Mm-hmm. This is where you stand. And you know, this, I don't remember if they do something as heavy handed as like having like different restaurants and drinking fountains and stuff like that, but it is kind of that sort of, you know, is it a civil right for you to be augmented, or is it because you made that choice,
right,
to get augmented that you have to do this? And, you know, sometimes you weren't, kind of with Adam Jensen. He didn't have the choice to be augmented, but he did. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at that point, is it civil rights, or is it you, because you made a choice to augment yourself, is it a choice that you made that is endangering others?
Yeah, it's definitely a downer tone that Mankind Divided sets. Like, this is the way people are living at this point in the timeline. And it's kind of heavy for a player to experience, because it does have that shade of, you see shades of apartheid and, mm-hmm, you know, racial tension that really reflected in the game. And this is the world that Adam's operating in now. At this point, he's working for an Interpol task force, International Police Task Force, investigating augmented terrorist activity. Now even the terrorists have augments. Who'd have thunk it? But at the same time, he's also cooperating with an anti-Illuminati hacktivist movement. I know it's a bit of a mouthful.
They have a subreddit.
I guarantee you they have a subreddit, yes. They're called the Juggernaut Collective, and by working with them, Adam hopes that he can gain more clues into the Illuminati's goals, their methods, their identity. He's still kind of trying to track them down and bring them to justice after the events of Human Revolution and the AUG incident. He hasn't given up on that. But while he's fighting, you know, that battle, the Illuminati's kind of really stepping up their game. They have all these irons in the fire. They have all these plans going on. And a major point of the plot in Mankind Divided is that the Illuminati and its many allies and proxies and whoever, they're working on something called the Human Restoration Act. It's kind of a bit of legislation that I think they're trying to push through. And if it passed, every augmented person in the world basically would be implanted with a control chip.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like we mentioned with the ghettos, this would be kind of rationalized and explained away as, we're going to prevent another AUG incident. We're just going to keep the general populace safe. But you and I, Michael, we both know, and yeah, I think Adam Jensen knows very well, this is just an ulterior motive of turning people into slaves. And, you know, it's an example of yet another cyberpunk hallmark and kind of a part of our main argument here. Technology is enslaving people, including Adam. But he's fighting to avert that dark future. He's struggling to prevent that from coming to pass.
It's kind of like this control chip. Again, it's presented as a tool of not necessarily suppression, but protection. Like, okay, we need to implant these chips into people so that we'll be able to control them, because everything will be fine. But that already happened in Human Revolution. You know, you got that chip that was supposed to be an upgrade. But you had no idea what it does. And who's to think that this control chip wasn't going to do anything different? Like, software has bugs. What right. if this breaks? And or if says like, oh, if evil equals yes, then murder, murder, murder. And it's like, at some point, like, that may happen. We don't know. So this idea of control and the concept that something like that can be controlled is somewhat of a fallacy, because some way someone's going to try to break the rule. In some ways, almost like, to kind of go back to, like, you know, Human Revolution title of the first of the reboot series, I guess, that revolution is a lot of ways inevitable. And no matter how many times you can control it or try to control it, someone will be there to fight you. So even though, I guess, one bit of inspiration in all of this darkness of the Deus Ex games is that no matter how much the Illuminati tries to control things, that there will always be someone who will rise. In every game, there is someone who is trying to fight the big control of either the Illuminati, MJ-12, which I guess is the Illuminati from the first game. But you have these kind of groups that who will, you know, the tighter of a grip they try to have on the world, someone will always try to break free. So I guess that's somewhat of an inspirational note.
Yeah, in a world full of Illuminati stooges, just be the Adam Jensen that you want to see in the world. Let him be an inspiration to you.
Oh God,
just keep fighting. Get some cool sunglasses grafted onto your face that they slide onto your eyes when you want them, so you don't have to put them in your pocket. All right, that's
okay.
Out of all the augmentations Adam Jensen has, it's probably my favorite.
It's just six shades.
Yeah, it's awesome. And that trench coat. Damn, dude. But no, yeah, be that Adam Jensen, be the thorn in the side of the Illuminati. Don't give up, you know, don't let them control you. That's the real takeaway here.
Yay.
But no, we going back to, you know, what Adam's trying to accomplish, like you mentioned, he is trying to be that one influence that pushes back on the forces of control and darkness and domination. That kind of comes to a head toward the end of the game where, you know, Adam is working, of course, with Interpol, but also the Juggernaut Collective to foil the Illuminati's plans. And in that process, he kind of gains contact with and gets closer to a person calling themselves Janus, the mysterious leader of the Juggernaut Collective. But unfortunately, we find out at the end of the game that even though Adam kind of disrupted and interrupted the plans of the Illuminati to further the Human Restoration Act, he kind of shut down that plan of theirs, but they had a backup plan, and their backup plan is that they are aware of his partnership with the Collective, and they are using him to expose Janus so he, she, or they can be eliminated. So again, he thinks he's stopping the Illuminati. He thinks he's done it. He thinks Human Restoration Act is done. I finally shut down a project of theirs, but no, he's just being used to uncover the leader of the Juggernaut Collective. It's wild. You really feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, yeah. And it's a thing that's also a thing that just persists throughout a lot of cyberpunk stories, both Deus Ex, Cyberpunk, the you know, tabletop RPG. The Matrix is probably the most direct parallel similarity to this, where it's the idea of no matter how much you try to rebel, the idea of rebellion is already part of the plan.
That's, yeah, man. Oh, man, that's deep. That's crazy. Like, yeah, say it with me.
The Illuminati.
They plan for people to fight back against them, and they also have plans to use those people against themselves. It's ridiculous. And mm-hmm. You know, that obviously includes Adam. So, you know, it kind of brings us full circle here where, you know, it tells us that even when Adam Jensen thinks he's working with the good guys, like, he thinks that the Juggernaut Collective are some of the most trustworthy actors that he can align himself with. Like we've touched on, he really doesn't know who to trust, not even himself, but he thinks the Collective are the ones I need to help because they have the same enemies I do. But it turns out his real enemies, the Illuminati, they're one step ahead of him, and they're using him as a pawn. So he's really worked himself into a position where he serves as the ultimate chess piece for them.
Yeah, and it's kind of interesting. Well, I'd like to actually get your perspective on this one, because you're less familiar with the original games, which take place in sort of the future of the Deus Ex universe. When you were playing through these games, were you actually having the idea of that, okay, Adam Jensen has the possibility of saving the world, or was it always in the back of your mind that this may or may not fail, like his plans?
Yeah, that's a great question. When I was playing, honestly, when I finished up both Human Revolution and Mankind Divided, both times I was kind of in the dark. I was like, I'm not sure what this leads to. I'm not sure what this means. It kind of feels like all of Adam's efforts just kind of equated to shouting into the void. It did kind of feel like the entire thing was an eternal struggle that was doomed to not necessarily be a failure, but to not accomplish much. Like Adam Jensen kind of, to me, symbolizes a bit of a Sisyphus figure where he's going to be always pushing a boulder up a hill.
Yeah. Oh, and that's good.
Yes, thank you. But yeah, like I did have some hope, like, you know, oh, he accomplished something and I beat the game and, you know, maybe I'll get some, some closure here. But then I find out, no, they know he's working with the collective and they're using that against him. And I just thought, oh shit, well, there it is. Like it's always going to be a cyclical thing where he's always trying to uncover these people, expose them and stop them. But they're always going to be somehow using him against himself.
Yeah. No, that's an interesting example, or interesting perspective rather. Because like, I know in a lot of ways how this world ends, not entirely. But I almost knew the entire time. It was almost like a tragedy. The idea of like, oh, well, I'm doing all this stuff. I know this ends in almost a world ending plague. And everyone kind of being in a technological dark age.
Right.
So how do we get from A to B? And so like that was more of a thing of like, because I had an idea even when playing through Human Revolution that this world was doomed to fail. How is this going to fail? And what are the chess pieces going to do to set up that failure?
Exactly. Yeah, it's. What is that line from Lord of the Rings? It's almost like, how could the story end happily after everything that's happened?
How
could there be a happy ending after all of this?
And
that's a great point. Like, it's not a bright spot that these stories usually go toward. Moving on to sort of final thoughts here before we wrap up. Yeah, I want to touch back on this idea of Adam as a hero and as a character that we sort of project ourselves onto. Or at least that's how I engage with him. I sort of tried to sympathize with him when I played as him. Tried to think, like, what would I do? And balance that with what would he do? And I keep thinking about that sort of paradox we touched on earlier. You know, I, as a player, am directing Adam Jensen to make decisions and approach the challenges of this game world in certain ways. But as a character, he has no choices in front of him. It's a really interesting paradox, and it just does bring to mind that broader question of cyberpunk as a genre, bringing up this question of, does technology really free you, or does it make you a slave? And how would you know the difference, even if you were aware of that question? So it's something to really think about, like, as we experience cyberpunk stories, as we, you know, look back on Deus Ex as a franchise. Yeah, I think that's a really important question to keep in mind, and it really puts Deus Ex in general, but these two games we've talked about specifically, really puts them into perspective.
Well, that about wraps it up. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please take a second to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us grow the show. And be sure to connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @lore_party. And check out our YouTube page for fun bonus videos and some highlights.
That's a lesson. This has been Philosophy 101 with Connor and Michael. Thank you for joining us.
This class is a pass-fail.
If you sat through this entire discussion, you pass automatically. I mean, that's enough work.
You only pass if you give us 5 stars on iTunes.
That's true, yeah.